All right, ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome to our session. And we join you to dive deeper into Windows Store for Business. And while you are doing it, we don't wish to dive so deep that we might feel tired a little bit after lunch. And so if you didn't have enough coffee, then we brought you some lollipops. And I'm sorry, I made the announcement earlier. If you just came, there are lollipops at the mics here. My daughter is actually sending them to you. They're beautiful. My favorite all-natural lollipops. So feel free to have some anytime. So if you would feel a little going slower, just raise and take the lollipop, please. All right, so my name is Jan Kalis. I'm the product and marketing manager for Windows Store for Business. And I have a pleasure that today with me here is Matthew Kotler. He is the principal group product manager from the Store for Business from the engineering side. So you have both worlds here on the stage with you.
You never know what will happen. All right, thanks, Jan. So I want to start at a very high level and then dive deep. How many of you have seen one of our theater sessions or had a chance to use the Store for Business? Just a quick show of hands. A good set?
Okay. 20%.
About 20%, roughly. That's great. So just briefly, I think at the beginning of the week, if you had the chance to see Satya's keynote, he talked about this week being a week to really immerse yourself into the digital transformation that all of you are feeling and to learn a lot more to hopefully be able to take it back with you. And I hope it's been a good week so far for everyone. This session is really about how we can make your life hopefully a lot easier. You have so many pressures on you coming from all different directions, whether that be all the things that you've had to do in the past, or all kind of the new challenges, whether it's our faster deployment cadences, or whether it be all the kind of business decisions that you're being asked to help influence, and on and on and on, and it goes. And so you all know the pressure is much better than even I do, which is why I'm here, to listen to you, and also to hopefully give you some avenues out in one particular space. When we look at Windows 10, and the deployment of Windows 10, we've really been focused on three areas to try to help. One is making deployment itself as easy as possible. Second is the usage, making it a product that is delightful to use, whether you're an IT professional or whether you're a user somewhere else in the organization. And then finally, of course, underlying this all, it has to be secure. It can't cause any challenges for your infrastructure, for any breaches, and et cetera. We have to give you the tools to lock down your organization as much as possible. Now, a lot of the sessions this week have talked about this at the Windows level. This session is going to talk about it at the app level. So with that, I'm going to transition to the Store for Business itself, which takes all those points and tries to apply it to apps. The Store for Business is really the one place that you need to go to find, to acquire, to manage, and to distribute apps on Windows 10. It's designed for organizations. It's not using a Microsoft account. It's using an organizational identity. So first and foremost, it's for your Office 365 users. It's for your Azure users, your Dynamics users, any users in your organization that have an org ID. Can use it, and we'll talk later about if you are mostly on premises, how to work with the Store for Business without all the users in the organization needing it. But it's designed for the business. That means we curate the apps. You're not going to go in here and find a whole bunch of games for your organization. You're going to find productivity tools. You're going to find things that will help your users. And that, again, we'll show you in a minute, and that's the main difference between the retail store that you see if you go into Windows 10 on your home machine. It's also built for volume acquisition, for distribution, so that it's really easy to acquire both store apps and line of business apps, and the deployment is flexible, leveraging the existing tools that you have in place, or the Store for Business itself. And finally, for your users, it's something that's familiar. It's something that they're used to. They just go to one place, and they can access the apps that they need, again, to do their job, and updates, unless they're managed through you, through the IT department, they can be handled completely automatically. So with that quick overview, we're going to talk a bit about what in detail we're going to cover.
So Matt just covered the first bullet on the agenda, what is Windows Store for Business. We'll do a quick demo of getting started, so we have the same level of understanding of what Windows Store for Business is, and then we go deeper into specifically three areas that follow on the app acquisition and app management, and we are showing both the acquiring public apps and internal private line of business apps. And we'll also talk about the controls for app distribution, how you can suppress certain apps, how you can apply certain policies to the Windows Store itself. So it really matches the requirements in your organization. And then we'll wrap up with summary and questions.
Awesome. So without further ado, let's just go ahead and dig into a demo. So I'm going to switch over just to a Windows 10 Enterprise machine. And I'm going to use two different personas here. I'm going to start with Alice, who is just a user in the organization, so that you get a chance to see her experience. And then I will switch over to what most of you on a day-to-day job do as an IT professional, and that'll be Jerry. So let's start with Alice. So Alice, in Windows 10, can just go ahead and launch the store. Now, this probably looks very familiar to what you would see today if you were using this on a home machine. The key difference is there's an additional tab at the top, which says Contoso LTD. So if I click on that tab, I transition away from all those retail apps to apps that are specifically curated by you. These are apps that you've decided to make available to your organization, to Alice in this case. And so you see in this list of things that we've curated in this case, some standard Office applications, whether it be Word, PowerPoint, Excel, or some paid applications in here, like Back to the Drawing Board. What's also in this list are line of business applications. So these are applications that are specifically designed either by in-house developers or by ISVs that you're working with to provide you with software, and again, targeted at your organization. We'll go through all of these types in more detail as we go through this session. But I want to give you first a sense of just what that user experience is. Alice uses this just like she would any other store app. I want to click on PowerPoint Mobile. The description of PowerPoint Mobile comes up, so Alice can browse and see what tools might be helpful for her job. She sees the description and screenshots and reviews, all the things that you would expect. And then if I go up to the top, one click, and she can install. And she's installed the app that you've made available to her. So now let me switch over and show you what your role is in procuring these, in making these available. So if I switch to the browser, now I'm Jerry. And by the way, I didn't call this out, but two things is I didn't call out on that. First of all, Alice was logged in and single sign-on with her organization account. And so, again, those are made available to her because she is signed in to your organization. The other thing is that on Windows Phone, I have the exact same store here. So, again, you just go to the menu and go down to where it says Contoso, and you can see the exact same apps that were on that the machine here available here if they're built for mobile. There. So I get the same experience across devices. Now, switching to Jerry, to show how this is set up, all you have to do is go to microsoft.com/business-store. When I go here, I'm going to start by signing in. I've already authenticated as Jerry, so it's just going to, in this browser instance, so it's going to sign me in. In a moment, I will show you the sign-up process if you haven't signed up for Store for Business. Jerry gets a shopping experience that is just like, again, a store shopping experience you would expect, except the apps that are here are not games. They're not entertainment. They're things that are targeted for work, for productivity, whether it be apps made by Microsoft, whether it be things around project management, and so on. So you can go through and browse all of the apps here. You can go look through different categories. So if you're a developer or you want to make apps available to developers in your organization, you can filter down to the category for developers and see the most popular Windows apps for developers. and you can just click on any of these apps and add it to that catalog there. Of course, search also works. So I can just go in and say I'm looking for some finance apps. And I can go ahead and do a search, and I get back a set of finance apps. So just a very high level, before we dig into a lot of the details around all of these aspects, of what you get from the Store for Business as an end user, and then what it looks like as the IT professional.
And what you have just seen, there are two of those experiences. You have just seen the business experience, but if you are working in education and if you sign in with your school ID, you would see experience that is tailored to education with specific educational apps right on the shopping page.
Exactly. All right.
Now, what Matt showed you is the 101, or how the end user experience and IT professional experience looks like. We want to now walk you through how you need to set up Windows Store for Business if you decide to pilot it in your organization. Now, it's very easy. You can sign up, and you can use your Azure AD account, as Matt mentioned. So if you already are running Office 365, or if you have Azure AD, you can use the same account to sign into the store. There is no fee related to signing up for the store, so you can really play with it as much as you need before you deploy it to your organization. Now, obviously, we recognize that your organization might be bigger because there's roughly 75% of enterprise organizations here at Ignite, and so you may want to delegate access to others, like some other departmental admins or departmental purchasers, and that's exactly what you can do in Windows Store for Business as well, and that's exactly what Matt is going to show you right now.
Great. So we'll switch back over and go back to, again, the Microsoft.com/business-store. So now I've opened up a new browser in private mode. So I'm no longer Jerry. I'm just one of you that hasn't explored the Store for Business. So I go to this page again. As Jan just mentioned, if I already have an Azure Active Directory account for any reason, I can just go ahead and click Sign In. In the case that I don't, then all I need to do is I click Sign Up Now. And it asks me, what account would you like to use? So again, if you have that Azure Active Directory account, you can go here and type in that email address. I'm going to actually create a new account to walk you through that process. If you've gone through any of our direct sign-up experiences already, this form is probably fairly familiar to you.
Just out of curiosity, how many of you already have Azure AD accounts or work accounts in your organization? So it's roughly 50% of the room. Okay, thank you.
I'm going to use, just for purposes of this demo, and so that you all know it, my personal email account and phone number. Don't call me.
But you can text him. I'll make sure he responds right now.
Always the danger of doing live demos, so that I actually get the text message in a moment. Okay, so I'm going to just enter some personal information, and then I'm going to type in my username, which is Jerry F. In this case, I'll continue with that identity. And my company, in this case, will say, hey, it's a test for Ignite. And my password? I won't tell you that. And then I click on Next. OK, now I really have to enter the phone number. So we'll wait just a few seconds to get my code. And go ahead and create my account. So what's going on here is it's actually provisioning Azure Active Directory for this organization. And so again, if you don't have an Azure Active Directory account set up before this point, you now do. And what it's doing is it's creating that organization. Make sure that you use a name for that organization that you want to use across Office 365, across the other services. But once it's created, then I'm ready to go, and I can go into the Store for Business. So when I click on that link, I'm going to now transition into the Store for Business. And now we're just doing a little bit more work on the Store for Business specifically to set it up for the organization. And in a moment, what you'll see is me go through and configure that private store. So in order to set up the private store, all I'm going to have to do is I'm going to quickly accept an end user license agreement, terms of use. If you already have a volume licensing agreement with Microsoft, or have gone through this before, the main difference in this agreement is it gives permission to third parties to sell, or for you to purchase apps from third parties, because that's what we're making available in the store. So that's the key difference. So I'll speed read through that, click the checkbox and accept. And there I am. That's all it took to set up for the store for business. Now, you saw the private store. At this point in time, there's no apps that I've made available in there. So the users that sign in on my system, obviously they weren't signing into Active Directory in the first place. But even if they had one, they wouldn't see anything at this point in time. So if I go to Settings and Private Store in Settings, you see that there's a display name that was pre-populated by that company name that I typed in. I can change that to whatever I want. So you can change it to Contoso LTD, was what we had used for the demo previously. You can change it to anything you want, and that's what's going to show up on that tab there. Now, at this point, I'm a global admin for the organization. And so I have permissions, as you would expect, to be able to do anything in that Azure Active Directory account. You may want to make permissions available specifically for the store for business, separate from Office 365, separate from anything else. So in order to do that, I'm going to, again, just click on Settings and go to Permissions. You see Jerry was automatically added as the global admin there. Now, within the store for business, I'm not adding users to Active Directory. This is, again, just managing the store for business. You may have used, if you've deployed Office 365, the Office 365 Admin Center. You may be using what's called the Biza portal if you're using Azure. You can use any of those. They all go against Azure Active Directory. In this case, for the demo, I'm going to portal.office.com. And this is where I make sure I didn't actually make any typos before. So when I go to portal.office.com, this is basically the bare bones of the Office 365 experience. Now, I haven't actually deployed Exchange or anything because this is a completely new tenant. So all I get access to is the admin center. We announced earlier this week this new Office 365 admin center is fully live. It was in preview. So if you haven't had a chance to play with this, I encourage you to do so. And I can just go in here and I can add a user directly in here. So we'll continue the theme that I was using, and I'll go ahead and add Alice. And that easily I've added a user to Active Directory, and I can send mail to Jerry with the password for Alice. Now, if I go back to the permissions page, I can go ahead and add people to this. There are three different types of permissions. There's store administrator, separate from your global administrator. This is just the person that has access to all the capabilities of the store. Then there's a purchaser. Ignore the bug that there are no dots on that line. The acquire and distribute apps are the two permissions that the purchaser has. So they can't go ahead and change account settings and change permissions in the store for business, but they can acquire and distribute apps in your organization. And finally, we'll talk about later, Device Guard is also integrated into the store for business. So you can go here and also assign roles specifically for managing Device Guard settings. So in this case, I'm going to just start typing Alice, and you'll see it's going against Azure Active Directory. It's already found her there. And I can say, hey, Alice is a purchaser, and that easily I've now permissioned Alice to the store for business in here. Okay. So with that, that's how easy it is to just go ahead and get started.
So now what Matt talked about is to get started from 0 to 100. Now we are going into acquiring apps, which is the next section that we talked about. And we want to show you acquisition of two different types of apps in the minute. Now, what apps are supported in Store for Business it's all the so-called modern apps or universal Windows apps. Now, here is one thing to note, that all the apps that are acquired through Windows Store for Business will run only on Windows 10 devices, because the entitlement or the license that the Windows Store for Business issues works only on Windows 10. Now, I a little bit mentioned the retail versus line of business apps, or meaning the public apps in the Windows Store that you can get into your private store or distribute to your employees, and that's what Matt is going to show you in a minute. And I will then demo a line of business apps, meaning internal apps that were developed by either your in-house developers for only your company, or a third-party developer for only your company or other companies as well. Now, we do absolutely support purchasing paid apps. If you are purchasing paid apps, you need to purchase a required number of licensing upfront, because then, as you have seen, the user experience is very seamless. Users don't need to pay, because all the ownership of licenses is on you as an organization. We do support 46 markets today, 41 paid. There is a link in the deck. We are evolving this number, and we are introducing more markets pretty soon. So if your market is not on the list today, double check the link, because it might be there tomorrow.
Okay. All right. We'll quickly again switch back one more time and show you how easy the purchase experience is. And then we'll review that in just a minute. Sorry, I went to the wrong machine. We'll show that in a moment. If I go back to Jerry, you'll see I'm back at the search results that I was at just a few minutes ago. And so I've searched for finance here. And you see in that list, there is a combination of free and paid apps. So let me just quickly click on this is my budget. And you see that it's $249. I can choose to buy now. And when I click on buy now, it brings up an option to just say, hey, how many do I want? I could just say 10, enter it, choose from those payment methods that were there. Since it's Jan's credit card that's on this account, I will cancel for this at the moment to save
Thank
them
you.
The money. But you just go through, click next, pick the credit card. In fact, I can go ahead and click next briefly just to show you that UX there. You see, I will save charging Jan on his American Express there. But you see the tax calculation, the toll thing, and I just click buy and I'm done. But instead, for the purposes of the demo, let's go ahead and back to acquire a free app. So in this case, we'll go ahead and pick MSN Money. And we'll talk about some of the other options here, the difference between online and offline, what that means. But in this case, because it's free, I don't have to go through that at all. I just click get the app. And now I've just provided with a confirmation that it's been added to my inventory. And when I click on close, then you'll see it's acquiring basically unlimited licenses for my organization. And in a moment, we'll return to this page and talk about how we distribute apps on this page. Okay? So in the meantime, I'm going to go quickly to, let me switch back to Jan to walk through that acquisition flow again, just a little bit more in depth.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you. Thanks, Matt. So Matt was now acting as an organizational purchaser. And again, those purchases could be delegated and et cetera. So as an organizational purchaser, you have to go into Windows Store for Business using your work or school account. And if you're acquiring free apps, then as he showed earlier, you can get unlimited number of licenses, because that app is free. So it could be there's no limits in number of licenses. And that app could be then distributed to users in the organization through the methods that we'll be discussing a little later. In case it's a paid app, then you need to decide what number of licenses you need. So you purchase them up front, and then that number of licenses is added to your inventory, and then using the same distribution methods, then you distribute those apps to the people or users in the organization. Now, of course, if you need more licenses, you can anytime buy additional licenses, or because those licenses are owned by the organization, you can always reclaim license from those people who no longer need them and assign that license to somebody else. So what we've just walked you through is the purchasing or acquisition experience. Now, once you acquire those apps, they will end up in one single inventory. And as I mentioned, from there, you can then decide how to distribute these apps. You can see who uses that particular app, and that's the same place where you can say, I want to reuse this app and make it available to others.
All right, we'll show that super quickly as well. So back to this page. I'm again just at the MSN Money app. If you go to Manage and click on Inventory here, you're taken to that view that has all your inventory, everything that you've acquired here. So MSN Money, which I just acquired, is right at the top. It shows me again that there are an unlimited number of licenses. I can scroll down and I can see a whole bunch of other apps, including line of business apps, which we'll talk about next, paid apps, and so on, all in this inventory. We'll get into in a moment how the options are for distributing and further managing these, but there are actions applied to each of these right in the dot, dot, dot menu on the right. So I can see more details, I can add it to your private store, assign it out, and so forth in there. Okay.
All right, so now we talked about the public apps, those apps that you can find in the store, and we've just done the demo. So we will now move to managing internal or so-called line of business apps. Why we build this? So we heard the feedback from you that you want to manage all those apps in the one place along with other apps, which makes total sense. So it's very easy for you. It also simplifies the communication with your developer, especially if it's a third-party company, that they don't need to send you an email and the Apex attached to that email, and then you don't need to sideload it into the organization. Because the package, when once submitted through Windows Dev Center and distributed through Windows Store for Business, it's signed by the store certificate, so you don't need to worry about sideloading. It works just like any other Windows Store app. As Matt showed you, for example, in the private store, you see all the rich metadata, you see screenshots, and et cetera, et cetera. So there was one interesting use scenario that I want to bring up so you can maybe think about some scenarios that you might use this in. We've talked yesterday to a gentleman who works for a company who builds physical windows, the house windows. And they had a third-party developer who builds a catalog app for them, which is an AppX package. They need the app internally, but they also need to share that app with their retailers. And they don't want to make that app publicly available in the store. So this is a perfect scenario for line of business app management through Windows Store for Business, where the manufacturer and the retailers would, through Windows Store for Business, invite the developer to publish such app right to their inventory and would be available only to those companies. Now, the simple workflow here works that the first step is that you as an IT professional need to authorize specific developer to publish up to your inventory. The way it's done in the user interface of Store for Business, and I'll show that in a minute, and you will use the Dev Center account of that particular developer because the submission is done in the Windows Dev Center, which is an environment that is familiar to all the developers who already have application in Microsoft Windows Store or in the Microsoft Store. Now, once that invite is sent, the developer, I'm assuming they accept the invite, And in that moment, your organization will show on their Dev Center page, and they can publish to your organization. Once that is done, then the app is added or is pending your acceptance as an IT professional in the Windows Store for Business. If you decide to accept the app, it's added to your inventory, and you can distribute it in the method using the methods that we'll talk about with Matt in a minute to the people in the organization. And now here's the best part. Whenever the developer creates a newer version of your app, then he submits the updated version, but because you have already accepted the app, it can flow all the way to your users. Now, of course, there is a lot that you can manage. You can turn off auto-updating. You can use System Center maybe to have some specific workflows and pass specific smoke tests, and et cetera. So you can make it as complex as possible. And you can see that there are options that are easy for smaller companies and for those that don't need such a deep level of governance.
And before we go on to the demo, just one quick note. There is another breakout session tomorrow. It's BRK2065, if you're keeping track, which is building and distributing enterprise apps with Store for Business, that will go into more depth from a developer experience perspective, if you're interested in that.
Yeah, so we'd be more than happy to see you at that session. So this is the Windows Store for Business. And I'm signing as Jerry, the IT professional guy. And in settings, you see a specific option here that is called LOB Publishers. And if I open this, you would see, yeah, I'm not sure if I want to rate my build of Windows. I love it, but I'm not sure I'm going to. I'll do it later, if it's OK with you. And you can see all the developers that I invited to publish on my behalf. Notice here the Contoso development, and I use the developer account. That's the login that the developer uses to sign into the Windows Dev Center. Now, if I open the Windows Dev Center, you can see that in this particular Dev Center, I have only internal line of business apps. These are all the apps that I'm managing in, and I've submitted through the Windows Dev Center as a developer. And if I, for example, go to the Contoso paste up here, and if I open one of those submissions, then what I want to show you here is that in the availability, this app is not targeted to so-called retail distribution, but it's only targeted to selected organizations. So right here, when I expand this, there is a number of organizations that trust me as a developer and invited me to publish this app or any other line of business app to their inventory. And only those organizations would be able to see and install that particular app. Now, once I submit that app as a developer, let's go back to the IT professional experience here in the Windows Dev Center. And I mentioned that before the app makes it to your inventory, you need to approve that app. And so right here, I have two apps that I have not accepted to my inventory yet, which is the Contoso Health and the PasteUp LOB. You can also note here that we do support two different licensing types, and Matt will talk about that in a minute. So I will accept, I can accept or reject this app. So if I add it to the inventory, I'm accepting. If I'm rejecting, obviously, I'm saying, no, I don't want this app to be in my inventory. Or if I choose to see some product details, I can see some metadata of that app. I can see some screenshots and platforms that this app runs on, etc. So it looks and feels as it's one of the public Windows Store apps. But this one is a particular line of business apps built for only our company. And then, obviously, I can use any of the distribution methods to distribute this app. All right, back to you, Matt.
And with that, we'll talk about the distribution methods.
Yes.
Perfect. So in the store for business, there are really three different mechanisms that you can use to distribute your apps. You've already seen one of them, and I'll walk you through the first two, and then Jan will walk you through the third one here. So the first is just to use the private store itself. That's what's available for Alice, or what was available for Alice, just on her client machine. The second option is to assign the app to specific users in the organization. And that doesn't require that they necessarily go and browse the private store. They just get a link, and you'll see that as an invitation, and then they can click on that link and be taken directly to the specific app. And then finally, as we talked about earlier, the Store for Business integrates with all your existing management tools, whether that be online, like Intune, whether it be SCCM or other MDM solutions that you might have. The Store for Business offers an interface that a number of the providers have taken advantage of and will listen to things that are added to the inventory of Store for Business and sync them across to their own tool. So you can integrate in with many of the tools that you're already using here. So with that, let me go ahead and just show you the first two quickly, and then we'll talk a little bit more about management tools. So if I go back to the inventory here with MSN Money, when I click into MSN Money back to that drill-in page for MSN Money, you see a couple things. First, you see a button right at the top, which is Add to Your Private Store. It's just a one-click action to add it. It will take approximately 24 hours right now for it to be actually added to the private store, so there is a bit of a delay in terms of provisioning it to the private store. And then it's right away available on your users' store clients in Windows 10. The second method here is, as I mentioned, to just assign this directly to people. And so I can click on Assign to People. Again, I can go ahead and click and type in Alice here. And when I choose Alice and click Assign, what it's doing is it's generating an email invitation to Alice. It's applying the license to Alice. And if I switch over to the browser, you'll see that I just got an email that MSN Money is now available. Now, this is, again, on Alice's own machine. Again, I'm signed in as Alice on the local machine. So I'm in Outlook Web Access, but I click on Get the App. And it'll navigate and it'll launch the store client on Windows and take me directly to the app. I've been licensed for that app immediately, and so right away I can just click on install and it'll go ahead and download MSN Money and it'll be available on my local system. So just again, like you would explore any other apps, it's that quick to see it and to go ahead and get started there. So that's the integration in the store of business directly from a management perspective. Now, let's switch back and let's talk a little bit about more depth integration from management tools.
Okay, thank you. So now, as Matt covered the first two store managed options that might be good for, let's say, smaller organizations, then you as larger organizations might need a higher level of governance. Or maybe you're already using methods and tools, like management tools, that allow you to deploy apps using specific policies that your organization requires. And so as Matt mentioned initially, the Windows Store for Business has a API, public API, that management tools can connect to and synchronize the inventory of acquired apps. So the inventory that Matt showed you, it included all the apps that he acquired in his into his environment. And that's exactly the same inventory that the management tool can synchronize. And then since that point on, you're working in the management tools and distributing the apps as if there are a different, as you're used to today. So that's the beauty and the power of management tools. So we give you rich options on how to do this. Now, I mentioned the business store service, which is an API that is documented. So if you, for example, happen to have a homegrown management solution that you want to connect to Store for Business, you can do that. Today, we obviously support Microsoft Intune and Microsoft SCCM. There are also third-party management vendors who already announced support for Windows Store for Business, such as Lightspeed and AirWatch, and some others that are working on the integration. So if you are not using some of the Microsoft management tools but using different one, then talk to your management vendor and ask them about when the support for Windows Store for Business will be available and how you can use it. Now, we also point to some nice resources on TechNet, so there's some general information on how to work with management tools. And if you have any feedback on the TechNet content, Trudy, the author of the management of the Windows Store for Business TechNet articles, she's here, so please feel free to talk to her. There are also two specific links on how to enable the sync with Intune and System Center Configuration Manager. Okay. So I think it's time for a demo. So we'll maybe do a longer demo here, because what I want to show you is how to set up the integration with Intune. So what I will do first, I will sign into the same instance that Matt was using earlier. So that's the instance that he just created. So I'll use the same account. I'll sign this as Jerry. And .onmicrosoft.com. And as soon as I will sign in, I will see the same experience that he had. And if I take a look into the inventory, he had the MSN he just added MSN.
That was to the other account.
Oh, it was the other account. Okay.
Well, then. the old account.
Okay. Okay. So, in order to configure the connection, I need to go to, again, settings, but this time it's the management tools tab or command. Here we pre-populate Microsoft Intune, but if you're integrating with other tools, you can find others. In the browse window here, as you click on the Add Management Tool, or you need to configure it in Azure AD before you can do the next step. So here for Intune, it's as easy as just clicking Activate, and by this occasion, the Windows Store for Business also asks me if I want to enable offline licensing, and Matt will be talking in a minute about what is offline licensing and what are the benefits. So I said yes. Perfect. So I just enabled my tool. So I pretty much said that Intune now can access this instance of Store for Business. The next step, what I need to do is to obviously log into Intune and enable mobile device management, if not already enabled, on that instance. And once it loads, then I'll go to admin, and here in the admin, I'll click mobile device management. It asks me to add the mobile management, which I will do. And there is a new section that is being populated right below the MDM section, and you can see here the Store for Business section. So obviously, I'll go into Store for Business section, and the only thing that I need to do is say configure the sync. I want to enable it, and I'll choose the language in which the metadata will be fetched. So I'll say English, and that's pretty much it. So now I've configured the sync. Now there's the first initial sync, and in a minute we should be able to see all these apps that were available in this instance right here under apps and volume purchased apps. So there you go. So it's like virtually instant, and it works beautifully. Now, obviously, if you have a paid app, then we do also bring over the number of licenses in use and number of available licenses. And because these apps were free, not paid, then they have by default unlimited number of licenses that you can use. Here is another example of system center integration. It's just a screenshot, but again, today we do support integration with System Center Configuration Manager, and I pointed you on the TechNet article on how to set that up. So just to wrap up this section, we've shown you three methods on how to distribute apps. The first two, as Matt was showing, were the store methods using private store and direct assign, and we've also reviewed the option for using management tools to deploy apps from your inventory. Okay. All right, so now we are going to go deeper into the online versus offline that we mentioned many times, but we haven't explained it. So Matt, please. Yeah.
So Jan just showed in clicking through hooking up Intune that you had the choice to enable offline licensing. That's also available as a setting on your store. So let me take a moment and explain the difference between the two. So online licensing, also we refer to it as store-managed licensing, is essentially what the store for business handles itself. So it allows you to have it put into the private store using direct assignment, in addition to MDM, EMM solutions such as Intune, which supports online licensing. Organization-managed licensing or offline licensing is for those situations where you're not going to leverage the store for business. You're going to really much more heavily leverage SCCM on-premise and so forth. In this case, you can use the offline license to get a copy of the package and then add it to a computer image. You can use manual deployment, and whether it be DISM or some other tool, to get it out. Or again, you can use many MDM tools, SCCM is a good example, to provision the packages themselves. The installation, if it's store management, if it's online, is obviously handled by the store and store services. If you're installing an offline or organization managed license, that's up to the organization, that's up to all of you to actually handle the installation and the distribution of it. Regardless of the type of license, however, all updates come through Windows Update. You can turn off the updates if you want to prevent that and handle everything through your normal workflow. But by default, it doesn't matter how the package ended up on the machine. Regardless of how it got on the machine, Windows Update will update it as long as you're online connected to the internet. There are obviously certain scenarios. I like to use the example of if you're in the Department of Defense and in a submarine somewhere, you might not have internet access. Maybe you do, for those situations, then obviously an offline license is the way to go, because that it will never connect up and check for that license. It's just trusted to the organization there, and that's what we refer to as license management. License management for online or store managed is handled by the store for business. If it's an offline license, then the license management is handled by the IT department and the organization itself. This is also, I said much earlier, where the point of Azure Active Directory accounts comes in. If you're going to use online licensing or store managed licensing, every user in your organization needs an Azure Active Directory account. You could be in a hybrid state and dir synced to Azure Active Directory. That's of course fine, but there has to be an account for each user that's using the store for business or are going to be assigned licenses to the store for business in Azure Active Directory. If you're using organization managed or offline, then only the IT professionals or the purchasers that you've delegated to need that Azure Active Directory account, because they're going to be actually browsing the store for business through the website that I've shown. In order to actually connect to that website, we do look up the account for permissioning and so forth there. There are essentially no prerequisites from an online licensing app perspective, but for organization-managed licenses, the developer has to have opted in. So Jan earlier walked you through a bit of the developer experience in Windows Dev Center. In that very same section, where you can choose whether you want to publish retail to everybody or whether you want to just publish to select organizations. There's also an additional checkbox there that says enable offline licensing. The reason it's not opted in by default is, to some extent, the developer is taking a risk, right? It's up to the organization to manage, if it's a paid app, to manage the number of licenses. It's not automatically managed. And so if you went off and were a malicious organization and purchased 10,000 offline licenses, there's no tracking there, and that developer doesn't get paid. So they opt into that experience.
However, Microsoft is adding a safeguard that we'll be explaining in a developer blog that will be posted next week on blogging Windows and developing apps for Windows, where we are clarifying the online and offline licensing. From the organizational perspective, who wish to purchase offline license apps, there are some additional credit checks that the organization needs to pass. And plus, all the binaries that are acquired, even in the offline license mode, have a stamp with the name and data about your organization. So if needed, the developer, with help of Microsoft, can track the package back to the source in case the app leaks.
So you won't get very far if you're that malicious organization. So now that we've talked about the online and offline licensing, let's take that concept and now apply it to how you as an organization can control the distribution of the apps. And it's really a stack of options here. So the most broad option for you is, if you're a small business or you don't have the tightest restrictions for your users and what they can use, which is what we certainly hope in many cases, you can allow users to browse all apps that are in both the public as well as the private store. They can get, if they want to go get Facebook, they can go get Facebook. If they want to get the business apps, they can get the business apps. They have full control. And for certain BYOD scenarios, that's obviously going to be very appropriate there. So that's the very broadest. Then if you go further, you can say, hey, that's fine, but you know what? In my infrastructure, there are, for some reason, certain apps that are causing problems. I want to block those specific apps. In order to block those specific apps, I can either use AppLocker or DeviceGuard. Or both in certain cases. AppLocker is more, and we'll demo this in just a few moments, AppLocker is more a specific allow list or a deny list for apps. DeviceGuard is based on certificates, and so you can get the certificates of certain publishers and allow or deny access to those specific apps. So you can block a specific app, like Facebook, if you so choose. That's kind of the next level down. Then, if you want to go further, you can apply group policy and limit access to just the apps that have been published to the private store. And so your users can just go ahead and browse at their will those apps and select the ones that might be most useful for them.
And we'll show this in a minute.
The next step down is to say, I don't want to give users access to this store at all. I'm going to handle all the distribution myself. And you would use the tools that you use today. However, as we discussed, you can still use, as an IT professional, the Store for Business to easily acquire those packages, whether it's using online or offline, and then just distribute it, handle all the updates and the workflows through SCCM into other MDM providers. And then finally, if you want an incredibly secure, and this is not mutually exclusive of the others, you can actually have a specific allow list. So before we said a block list or a deny list of apps, you can actually have a specific allow list of apps in AppLocker and DeviceGuard. Say these are the only apps that can run on a machine. If someone mails your user an executable as an attachment in, say, a zip file, and it's not on that list, it's not going to run. It's not going to be installed there. So that's kind of the most, the deepest level of control that you have over distribution. So you really have a lot of flexibility for your organization. Again, these are, you can use multiple tools, you can use multiple distribution mechanisms, you can apply AppLocker, DeviceGuard, multiple levels here. So we really want to give you the most flexibility, and ideally, your users the most flexibility. So you don't have to turn off everything, you can just give them the functionality that you want to.
And if we may ask you to divert the questions till the end, we have a last demo to do, and then we'll open up for questions in a couple of minutes. All right. So
with that,
that's a perfect summary of all the options that you have as an organization. And I think let's take a look at some of those in an action. So I would like to show you two of those options. The first option is to use some of the policies to show only the private store in the Windows Store app, and then to show you the app locker to block specific app or specific version of the app or specific or apps from a specific publisher. So back on this Windows 10 machine, I launched the Windows Store. And as you see on the top, we have home, apps, games, music, movies, and TV, as well as the Contoso tab. Now, if you're running Windows 10 Enterprise or Education or the mobile versions of Windows 10, you can actually apply a specific policy that would display only the private store. So I'll just close the private store, and I'll just open GPEdit because that's probably the easiest and quickest way to show this in action. Of course, these policies are also available through management policies. So you, if you are moving from GPO to management policies and you're using Intune to manage some of those policies, then you can use Microsoft Intune as well. Now, here in the, and this is all documented on TechNet, and the, and I'm setting the computer configuration in this case. In Windows components, you'll find a folder store with number of different policies. What I will just do for this demo, I will enable a policy that is called require private store only. So once I apply this, and once I'll relaunch the store, what you see is that the other tabs, the public store, actually disappeared and is hidden. Now, yes, we do a great job in hiding all those apps. So if you would search for some less of a productivity type of apps that are definitely in the store, you won't find them. If somebody sends somebody deep link to the store, it simply won't open. So that's one of those options on, of how you can still keep the benefit of the store and make the private store available to your organization and hide other components of the store that you might be worried about or that you might want to hide. Now, the second part of demo, I'd like to show you using AppLocker to block a specific app. So as you remember, Matt installed this MSN Money app on the computer. And as you see, I launched it and it works. So what I will do, I will actually use the AppLocker to block this app from running. So what I will do, I'll just use the local security policy to define the application control policies. Right here, we'll create a new rule, and it is a pretty straightforward wizard where you say, are you allowing, are you denying? So in this case, I am denying. Is it just a specific group of people, or is it everybody? For simplicity, I'm just keeping everybody. And here I can browse apps for reference, so I just say, well, this is the MSN Money here, and this dial here on the bottom allows you to either block a specific version of the app, or if I move it higher, I can block MSN Money app, all the previous and future versions, or if I lift it any higher, I would just block all the apps from this particular publisher. So
don't do that in this case.
Exactly. So for the sake of this demo, I'll just go back to only blocking this package. I can define exceptions, etc., and hit create. So now when I launch the money here, then you see this dialog that says this app has been blocked by your system administrator and contact system administrator for more details. So these are just the two sneak peeks of how you can control the user environment to a very granular level.
Okay. So we just have a few slides to close this off, and then we'll open up for questions. So the first thing we wanted to just mention briefly is your feedback to us is invaluable. You probably heard that all week. The Store for Business team is one driven by continuous innovation, continuous improvement. We know many of you are just in the process of piloting or rolling out Windows 10, and so you're probably also just in the process of exploring Store for Business. Hopefully that's why you joined us here today. And so this is a perfect time for you to explore, to try it out. You hopefully saw how easy and quick it is to just get started and pilot it, at least within the IT department, and then with maybe a few set of users. Send us your feedback. We're really interested in it because we deliver on a weekly basis updates to the Store for Business, and so we're constantly taking feedback and incorporating it in. The easiest way to send feedback, unless you want to come up afterwards and talk to us or ask us questions in just a moment, is just go to Feedback Hub. If you've been a Windows insider, you probably are familiar with using Feedback Hub to provide feedback for Windows itself. Since Centennial launch, Feedback Hub is now available for all users of Windows. And so it's just another store app. Just go search for Feedback Hub, and you can download it. And within Feedback Hub, there's a store category and Windows Store for Business subcategory. So if you just enter in your feedback there, it'll get sent to the product teams, and we take this very seriously and look at all the feedback there. So please definitely take some time to try it out and give us any feedback there. If you happen to be a developer, I'll also give one other plug for Feedback Hub. Feedback Hub now also integrates with any software vendor. So you can go to Dev Center and you can sign up to use Feedback Hub for your own application. And that gives you a bunch of telemetry on the application as well. There.
So this is just a summary of what we have walked you through at the session today. So we talked about Windows Store for Business. We showed you high-level demo the end-user experience and the IT pro experience. Then we went into application acquisition, and we talked about getting Windows Store apps, those public apps, and managing your internal line of business apps. We showed you the options of how you can deploy your apps. We talked about online and offline licensing, and we also covered the broad range of options of different policies that you can use to lock the environment as your company would require. Now, there are a number of other related sessions, and as Matt already mentioned, there is a breakout tomorrow, Build and Distribute Enterprise Apps with Store for Business, that we are doing tomorrow with Kyle. And so if it's more developer related, we are walking through the line of business management with Store for Business, managing internal apps with MDM, and then going to side loading. We have a lot of demos, so if you're interested in that topic, or if you know your colleague would be interested, send them over. All the other sessions were recorded, so there was a great session yesterday about all up Windows 10 security and management and Windows as a service, what types of services help you to deploy Windows 10. And that's a session that we would recommend watching. If you are in education, Craig Ashley did a session on exploring Windows 10 in education. And also, if you want to have hands-on experience on Windows Store for Business, please visit our labs that also feature Windows Store for Business session, where you set up your Intune instance and then configure Windows Store for Business and start acquiring app and sending them over through Microsoft Intune.
And if you don't have a chance to do it here, those labs are actually available online at MyIgnite. So just go to Ignite afterwards, and they'll be up there for, I believe it's up there for 30 days, so you have a chance to go through any labs you missed this week.
Absolutely. So what we want to wrap up with the set of these three links. The first one is the sign up for Windows Store for Business. The second one is linked to Trudy's Tech Center that is on TechNet, and it's the end-to-end information for IT pros around Windows Store for Business. And the last one is a similar pointer specific to developers who wish to build apps for that will be distributed through Windows Store for Business. We also ask you to submit the evaluations. Tell us how we can make the product, the session, the content better.
The lollipops.
And of course, yes. Thank you for mentioning that. There are still some lollipops that we brought to you. So they were actually sent from my daughter. So I really cannot disappoint her and fly them back. So
it's our incentive to get you to go to the mics and ask us questions now.
Exactly. So we are opening for questions.
I'm just wondering if the store is ever going to support Win32 apps.
So the question, I guess, it's Mike. So you heard, will the store ever support Win32 apps? So if you're familiar with Centennial, Centennial is a technology that Microsoft has released that allows you to repackage Win32 apps as AppX packages. And so if you have Win32 apps in your organization, I encourage you go look or have your developers look at Centennial, and it's a way to basically wrap it in an AppX package, and then that AppX package can be submitted to the store. Today, that's the easiest way to support Win32 apps.
Thank you.
And Matt's private store actually includes one Microsoft Centennial app, which is the desktop app converter itself. So it's a Centennial app. So this already works today.
Offline licensing. How many free apps do you see adopt offline licensing? Because I'm assuming it's developer selectable on offline, on free apps too.
Yeah, great question. So today we have hundreds of apps that are available for offline licensing. If there is a particular app that is blocking your deployment and you need it available for offline licensing, the best way is to connect with the developer and tell them why you need it, or talk to your account manager at Microsoft, and they would help to amplify that business case to the developer. As I mentioned, we are also publishing a specific blog article that explains specifically for developers what does it mean for them, how it makes their business case of distributing apps even broader with enabling offline license apps.
Yeah. I gave the negative view about why a bunch of developers didn't check that checkbox automatically, and Jan gave the response, which is we're doing a lot within Microsoft to protect the developers so that they don't have to worry about checking it, and it gives them much more distribution. We'll ping pong back and forth a little bit.
Okay. So let's pretend I'm an independent software vendor, and I have a plugin for Edge that I want to distribute using Windows Store for Business. What's the story there?
It's supported. So Edge plugins are supported in the Store for Business, in the retail Store for Business. And so, again, I believe it's not browsable today, but if you have the link to the Edge plugin, you can distribute that link. So in the store itself, you can't browse for it, but it's there, and if anyone clicks on that link, it will be available.
Is that the only way to inject an Edge plugin at this time, other than sideloading?
Well, you can do it through the consumer store, but I don't think that's the question you're asking.
Right.
Correct.
Correct.
So you want to do more a enterprise-wide type of deployment.
Of an Edge plugin, that's right.
And maybe Kyle can, okay, Kyle is nodding yes, that's the only way to do it today.
Okay, I'm gonna go talk to this guy, thanks.
And that is Kyle in the back, who will be joining tomorrow for the deep dive there. All right.
If an app developer produces an update of the app, how long does it take before it is showing up on the devices? And can you track that in some way, see which clients already have the update and which don't?
So Jan may know more details of the specific time, but essentially the developer, just like submitting any other package to the dev center, you have to go through the submission process for the updates. Once it's submitted through up through dev center, it's essentially the same life cycle as it is for any retail apps. It just goes through Windows Update. So my understanding is that's pretty quick in terms of getting out. In terms of actual distribution, how many users have connected and access it. That's where I was referring before to the telemetry that's available in Dev Center. Dev Center provides a bunch of reporting in there around, I believe it has what versions you're in, what the usage of the your app is in there. So a bunch of the stuff is in Dev Center itself. And if the specific thing is not, Feedback Hub is for Dev Center as well, and they're actively looking at that for specifically analytics. They're really spending a lot of time on the analytics for developers there, so that's a great suggestion if it's not there, but I'm pretty sure it's there already.
Thank you.
Is it possible to use different purchasers with different payment options? So like one in the US, one in Europe, one in Asia. There might be different types of licenses or prices.
That's a great question. Very frequently asked question. As Matt said, we are on the path to continuous innovation. So absolutely enabling multi-organizational purchase and enabling additional payment methods is on our roadmap. So today it is not possible, but again, tomorrow, as these updates will be rolled into the environment, it will be possible. So we are enabling these capabilities in the future.
Is there a schedule for
this? I don't think there's anything specific that we can share today. I'm happy to have a one-on-one conversation. What is the exact need that you would need, and then we can bring it back to the engineering team and prioritize, obviously, appropriately.
Okay.
One workaround that's not, you know, it's not restrictive is to basically have multiple shared credit cards there, organization shared credit cards, and you can say, hey, if you're in this department, if you're in this subsidiary, use this one, and if you're in this, use that. So that might be, again, depending on how much you need to restrict. You don't just need to have one. In fact, Jan's Visa and Amex are both on there.
So even today, actually, the payment methods, the payment instruments are per user.
Yeah, per
user. So if you're a different user, you have a different payment instrument.
Okay.
So that is available. Yeah. The breadth of payment methods and having more kind of specific, say, departmental purchasing, those are things, as Jan said, are coming, and we're definitely interested in and would love more on your scenario.
That might be a workaround. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. When I send a mail to the user for the app to download, when I license the user, how can the user see if there's a company app or a Store for Business app or a private app?
So in the email, if I still have it up, the email actually said it came from Jerry. So let me, is that showing?
You're on, yes.
So you can see that it you know, it comes from Jerry. You see it's associated with Alice. Here, let me see if I zoom in.
But you won't see specifically if it's an internal app or.
When I click get the app, there's no information about this. Is it public or is it for business?
Oh, when I go in there, you're saying, there's really not a difference from an app perspective, right? The difference is what you've made available. So MSN Money is available in the retail store for everybody. You have maybe chosen to make it available in your private store. So this page is exactly the same as someone that's browsing in a company that lets you users have access to the public store would see as in yours, unless it's a line of business application that has just been published directly to yours. Does that make sense?
This one is a free one, but it's what's when the app costs something? How is the user, is it purchased for the company or for personal?
So once you, that's a great question. Once you've purchased it and you've assigned it out, it will have the same thing. It will look like it's already been purchased.
Okay.
Okay, so the user doesn't have to purchase it.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Great question, thank you.
So you've showed us how to publish an app, how to automatically upgrade it, how to block an old version, but what about completely removing an app?
That is a great question and something, you're right, that I did not show, and we often do. So if I go back to my inventory here, or actually, not, I don't even need to go to my inventory.
So just to clarify the question, is it removing the app from inventory or removing the app from Windows 10 machines?
I mean removing it from the machines.
Okay, so I will get there. The brief answer is you can't, through the Store for Business, remove it from the machine. But if I click on Alice here and reclaim the license for this app, now the license is gone. When the user tries to launch that app, they will no longer be able to run the app. So they're no longer licensed to it. I guess I have
so
to sign
if you're
back
if you're asking about, for example, the inbox apps that you want to remove from Windows, there is a specific policy. I don't know the exact details, but when exactly it was published, but I think it was in the anniversary update. Check the TechNet for specific information. You can actually remove those inbox apps, and then, for example, with Store for Business, if you wish to add the camera app, you can get the offline license of that camera app, and using your management tools, you can then deploy that app to only those specific devices you allow the camera app beyond.
Okay. And I'll say also, I've been asking actually for clarification on this. I believe you can also use the MDMs to actually remove the app. I just need to get verification on that. So if you want to follow up afterwards, I'd be happy to follow up.
Okay, three questions regarding Windows 10 Mobile. I'm assuming that all the configuration steps you showed, you know, setting up private stores, et cetera, will be done through equivalent CSP-provided commands from an MDM. Is there any gap there?
There's actually a great TechNet article that goes through this in detail. The policies do vary slightly between mobile and desktop. So I would recommend go to the article, or I think Jan might actually have it up. And you can read in great detail on it.
Okay.
That is something we definitely, those X's and checks tell you exactly what's available where. That is something we're definitely working on, and so we're looking to try to, where possible, provide more alignment on that over time.
Okay, so question number two, from a user experience perspective, on the phone, you would just basically click on the store, the default store app, and you would basically then see the private store, if that's the setting.
Exactly. And the user experience is actually very, very, very similar to the experience if I would take the store here, and make it small, make it actually like this, so then the menu is on the left-hand side. So that's exactly the same, because
it's exactly
the same app. It's modern app. Or
okay.
So if you want to see afterwards, just feel free to come up, but you click on the little menu on the left. I don't have the policy applied on here. I haven't relaunched it. And so it does show all of them, and then right, the one that's highlighted in blue at the bottom is what says Contoso.
Okay, and then finally, if I basically use a private store, does that in any way limit my capability to make applications VPN app triggered or use WIP with them? Like, can I still use like Windows Information Protection settings with those apps? Or even like, you know, make them to be trigger my VPN connection?
That is a great question. I don't know the exact answer, so we need to follow
Kyle
up with you.
Kyle says yes.
Yeah, Kyle says yes. So that would be the Microsoft Auto VPN option, right? If it's a third-party MDM, it's a different story.
So yes, I can actually still use a functionality. Okay,
yes.
Good.
That's great. All right, let's take a last question on the mic, and then our time is up, so we are happy to take the questions then here at the podium. So your last question, madam, please.
Is tomorrow's session for the developers being recorded?
Yes, it is.
So it'll be available on the hub?
It will be available on the hub. All the breakout sessions are recorded.
Okay.
So yes, it
terrific.
Is. Thank you.
And please,
thank
if you had other questions.
Huh?
If you have other questions, please feel free to come up, and we'll stick around outside for a while.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.